Application Academy is closing if you are applying to medical school in 2024 to start in 2025. We are closing in mid-April, April 12th or 13th, somewhere around there, somewhere in mid-April. We're closing our door. It's time for you to get in to Application Academy to get the support you need to put together your story so that you aren't one of those students that end up rejected because you didn't know how to tell your story. Come join us at applicationacademy.com. Use the promo code podcast for a little extra discount. Use the promo code podcast for a little extra discount. I'll see you soon at applicationacademy.com. The pre-med path can be super confusing. If you'd love some help on your path or on your applications, use the promo code PMY for pre-med years, PMY, over at medicalschoolhq.net and get some help from some of our experts, former directors of admissions, admissions officers, other experts. We have a small team ready to help you today. Again, that's promo code PMY to get a discount on our services at medicalschoolhq.net. The pre-med year, session number 477. Hello, and welcome to The Pre-Med Years, where we believe that collaboration, not competition, is key to your success. I'm your host, Dr. Ryan Gray, and in this podcast, we share with you stories, encouragement, and information that you need to know to help guide you on your path to becoming a physician. And welcome to The Pre-Med Years. Thank you so much for joining me today. After several weeks of amazing guests and interviews, I'm going to play an IG live for you. Some great questions we had from last week's Instagram live here on the pre-med years. Before we jump into that though, I want to talk about the MCAT minutes brought to you by Blueprint MCAT. If you are looking for some last minute MCAT help and you are self-studying, you're not using a course or anything, check out the amazing bundle that Blueprint and Sketchy MCAT have teamed up to offer you. At BlueprintMCAT.com, you get access to full-length exams from Blueprint MCAT, the best third-party full-length exams out there, the practice exams for the MCAT, which you need to do well on the MCAT, as well as access to the Sketchy MCAT platform to help you understand, help you learn the information, retain the information necessary to do well on the MCAT. Go check out all of that. It's perfect if you have about 2 months left to study for the MCAT, you're out there studying on your own. Go check it out, blueprintmcat.com. All right, let's go ahead and jump into our Instagram Live for today. What's up, Instagram Live? All right, what's up, TripU21? Good morning, Anj Patel. I'm trying to pin that. There we go. If you are new here, what we do on Friday mornings is Q&A. I'm here. I take your questions and have you come on and we have a conversation and I'll answer whatever you got. If you have questions about life, med school, being a pre-med, your application, anything and everything is on the table. So, the Bisexual Chronicles 123, Google caregiving clinical experience, and you will find a AAMC article that says caregiving is great clinical experience. Whoa. All right. So, again, I prefer not to read the comments and just answer them. I love having you all come on and we have a conversation. So click that little request to join live button and we'll talk. That is the best way to do it. When do I take the Casper? So Casper, just because I see you spelled it that way, they actually changed how they spell it so you don't have to do capital C-A-S-P, lowercase E-R. It's just Casper with a capital C now. You take it as early as you can. It's part of this, typically a secondary process. Think of it in that way. Whoo, all right. Hello there.
Hey, what's going on, Dr. Gray?
It's going. It's going. It's Friday. I'm tired.
yeah, like that. Honestly, I don't have any questions, but I was, you know, you were looking for people, and I'm like, I cannot take this opportunity to jump on.
Well, you have to have a question. Who are you? What? Where are you in this process?
Okay, first of all, I'm calling out of New York here, New York City. I graduated last year, so that would be May 2021. This is currently my gap year. I'm doing a little bit of research in neurology and studying for the MCAT.
Nice. So you got no questions. You got it all planned out. You got all the answers.
Not all planned out, but, you know, just following your guidance, really taking the time to study for the MCAT, doing the practice exams. So I've been going through my practice exams. I plan on taking the MCAT in late April. So this way I get my score late May. And then if all goes well, then apply in early June.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you mean if all goes well?
Meaning I hit a high percentile score. And yeah, that's really what's contingent on getting the going to DO or MD schools.
So hold up a minute. You're taking the test late May?
No, late April.
Late April, getting your score back late May. Okay, that's I heard that wrong. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So the biggest thing for you is just prepare as if you're going to crush the MCAT so that your application's ready to go.
Right. So I'm working on what my – really, for me, I would like to stay in New York City. That's my main goal.
Yeah. Good luck with that. Yeah, that'd be nice.
I'll let you know how that goes.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right. I don't want to hold you up too much here, but thanks for all the guidance.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.
And if you haven't yet, it sounds like you're in the middle of applications now. Application Academy closes today, so go check it out. All right. Come on, click that request to join live, and we'll hang out. We'll have a talk. Just you and me. That's all. And all of the people. let's see. If I haven't had any interviews yet, should I assume I am not getting any? So it's late February, or no, mid-February right now. I think it's a pretty good assumption. Right? It's going to be very, very unlikely that you don't get any. If you want to come on, we can chat and try to figure out what went wrong, why you didn't get any interviews. if you haven't watched Application Renovation yet, then you can check that out too. Hello there.
Hi, how are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm well. I wanted to ask, I just started listening to your podcast, and I listened to like a bonus episode talking to your students in Application Academy about their seed. Mm-hmm. And I listened to the whole thing, and I still don't know like what mine is. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm a senior student.
Okay.
So I have a little bit of time, but I just don't have any experience because I graduated 2020 like from high school. So my first 2 years were just like pandemic. So now.
Yeah, but that would have nothing to do with your seed.
Okay.
So for everyone watching who doesn't know, so seed is just kind of the language that I don't know if I created it or whatever, but I talk about it in my personal statement book is the kind of moment that you had where you were like, huh, like it's not a light bulb moment. It's not like, oh my gosh, I know right now that I want to be a doctor. It's like, huh, this thing in healthcare, whether it's being a vet, being a dentist, being a physical therapist, being a chiropractor, being a whatever, is interesting. I want to go explore it.
Okay.
So the fact that you haven't had any clinical experiences yet because of COVID, which we can dive into there because there are plenty clinical experiences to be had. So don't let COVID be an excuse for not getting anything. When did you realize that you wanted to be a physician?
I just like grew up, like everyone around me was like, oh, you're gonna be a doctor. So
man, is it the typical like Jewish, Asian, whatever, Indian, like doctor, lawyer, engineer?
Yeah, I feel like a little bit has to do with it, but my parents don't want me to be a doctor because they think it's too stressful. But everyone else around me, since I was younger, they were like, you're going to be a doctor.
So yeah, I don't buy that kind of language. You're like, oh, I just want to be a doctor because everyone told me I was going to be a doctor. Like, mm-hmm. that's not a good sales pitch.
I don't know.
Yeah. Like, what do your parents do?
My mom, she's a stay-at-home wife, and my dad, he's an engineer.
Okay. Doctor, lawyer, engineer. There you go. Yeah. You got the engineer part. Okay.
In my family, like, there are a few doctors, but none of them were, like, impactful.
Yep.
Because I don't really see them. They're all in India, so.
Okay. When was your first interactions with healthcare that you can remember?
I did, when I was in high school, I have an uncle in Missouri, and he works in a hospital, and I shadowed like an ER doctor for fun, but I don't know if that was like impactful or like.
Why did you shadow an ER doctor in high school?
He was just like, let's just see if you like it. And so I just went with him, and then he just left me with a bunch of like ER doctors.
Okay.
So that was like my first experience, and it wasn't there wasn't anything like crazy happening. So, they just told me to sit in a corner and like follow them around. So yeah.
That's shadowing. Yeah. Okay. So for you, you're going to have to keep going backwards and backwards and backwards and keep asking yourself like, well, why did I seek out that experience? Why did I do that? Why did I have that feeling? Mm-hmm. There's almost always something, whether it's a personal kind of story of interaction with physicians or a family member's experience with physicians or something that exposed you to healthcare and you were like, oh, that's really cool. Like, let's go back to like, why would family members just randomly tell you, oh, you're going to be a doctor?
It's very like common, like, to be like, oh, when you grow up, you're going to be a doctor. Like, you know, kind of like having fun with kids type of culture. For some reason, I just took it to heart. And I'm like, wait, maybe I'm going to be a doctor. And yeah. I just don't see myself like doing anything else. I don't really know.
You have to go explore some more. So, yeah. And you may be the rare student who's like, doesn't have anything other than everyone telling you you're going to be a doctor. You internalize that. And so for you, it's going to be really important to go out there and shadow and get clinical experiences and make sure that you're doing this for you and not for everyone else.
Right. Of course. Yeah. I do have a quick question about like clinical experience. I'm a gender studies major. So I was like, I'm kind of like thinking of, you know, my story is like, you know, medicine and a feminist perspective. So would like, you know, working at a Planned Parenthood, considering the context, would it be considered clinical hours depending what I do?
Yeah, that's the answer. Depends on what you do.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Just depends on what you're doing.
Mm. Yeah. That was my answer. Those were my questions. So thank you so much.
Yeah. You're welcome. Good luck. All right. Who was that, Garrett? You got a good voice. My voice is actually kind of gone today. I partook in too many drinks last night. I was out with some friends. And so I think only the second time we've been kind of out in this pandemic in the last couple of weeks for 2 years. So it was, Taylor, hello, we'll bring you on. Tasha, can I assume that admission committees know what a scribe is or does? Of course. Hello there.
Hi.
How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. So I'm a senior.
Okay.
And so I'm a Texas resident. So I'll be applying this upcoming cycle. Should have mentioned that. I'm a Texas resident. So hoping to apply to mostly all of the Texas schools. And so when it comes to their character limits and AMCAS character limits. Do you recommend like me making a whole new personal statement or just cutting down in like activity section? Like, what do you suggest for that?
Yeah. So the activity section is completely different, right? From 700 to 300. It's, in my general, like showing impact type statements for AMCAS and ACOMAS that you can do in 600 or 700 characters. It's nearly impossible with 300 characters. So unfortunately that's TMDSAS. You just kind of have to write more direct and more bland and just job description type stuff. And if you can show impact, great. But, in terms of personal statement, it's only 300 characters less. So I would, I wouldn't write a whole new personal statement. I would write your personal statement for the 5,300 characters if you're going to apply to AMCAS schools as well, or ACOMA schools, and then just cut out 300 characters somewhere.
Okay. Okay. That's what I was thinking. And yeah, just like the first person I think got on here, I'm also thinking of taking MCAT like April 30th. And so I've seen a lot of like, you should apply to like a safety school. And then once you get your score back, then you should add other schools. Do you recommend doing that?
So I don't use the term safety school for medical school. There are no safety schools and REACH schools. That's an undergraduate thing. if you take the MCAT April 30th, you're taking it early enough that you don't need to play that game. You're going to get your score back and you can still apply within the first week. You'll be perfectly fine. So you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, because I know TMSDS, like, they can submit earlier, so that was my question. I think they can submit as soon as mid-May, so I was like, I was wondering if I should just add, like, one or two and then add the rest.
No, you don't. So. Yeah, those couple weeks don't matter.
Okay. And also, I wanted to have, like, a question on, it's kind of a personal, deep question, but just a quick question on, like, grade trends. And so I am like a senior, so the COVID pandemic hit in the middle of my trend line. And so I was good freshman year and then beginning of sophomore year, then it dips. And then I'm coming up during my senior years. So like for that, because I know trend is very important when it comes to like, if you have a lower science GPA, which I do. And so I was just wondering like, what part of the application could I like address that in a way?
You typically don't need to. I mean, your grades are your grades. They're going to see when your grades dropped. They're going to know that a global pandemic happened. And so lots of people's grades dropped during that time. At the end of the day, the goal is to prove academic capability. And so you just need to show that GPA coming up third and fourth year so that they don't have any questions of who you are and what your capabilities are.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, I think that was all of my questions.
Alrighty. Yeah, you're welcome. Alrighty. Let's keep rocking and rolling. Hello, hello.
Hi, Dr. Gray.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. What's your name?
All right. Angelina.
Angelina. Hello.
Hello. So I have a question. I might be applying this cycle or not because I'm terrified of MCAT. I haven't taken it yet.
Yeah.
So the question is about the school choices since there is a 30-hour rule and 62-hour rule. I was wondering if you know anything particular about the schools, which schools do that, which don't, how do I find that?
You can ask. I don't know which schools will tell you. It's just part of the game of applying, depending on the school. Some schools will publicize what they have and some schools won't. So you just have to, just got to roll with it. The only thing that you can control is how well you do.
It's just I have a 4.0 for the last 40 credits because I didn't do so well because I was a student athlete and priorities were different.
Yep.
didn't think I'm going to be a doctor, was kind of on like the grad school path. So it kind of changed, but yeah, I was just looking everywhere for the list and I couldn't find anything. So I was wondering.
Yeah. I don't think there is a list. I think I have, something on my website. If you just Google the 32-hour rule, for medical schools, and for people who don't know the what that means, it's schools that will look at your last 32 credit hours versus your total GPA to kind of recalculate what your GPA would be. So I know I had a conversation a while ago with University of Central Florida. They told me that they look at the last 20 hours of science credit to kind of determine your GPA and your academic ability. Whether that's still the case, I don't know. NORDA, College of Osteopathic Medicine, one of the newer osteopathic schools, they have, I just had them on the podcast, their director of admissions. And she said they look at the last 60 credit hours of graduate and undergraduate. And so it's just going to depend on the school. You've put in the work already, 4.0 over the last 40 hours, and you just got to just cross your fingers and apply to schools and try to do some research and homework into what schools will potentially look at specifically 40, 60, 30, whatever. But at the end of the day, you're probably not going to get a lot of information, and you're just going to have to take a leap of faith.
Yeah, this process is so much like that. And, all right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And for the schools that you suggested.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okie dokie. I'm tired today. It's been a week. It's been a week. How's your week been? You're back.
Yeah, so, you know, I was on here with you and I'm thinking, I just wasted an opportunity. I was on here with Dr. Gray and I didn't ask him any questions. So now that I have a question, I'm back.
Okay.
So I'm writing up my activities and I'm trying to decide what would constitute padding my application versus what is necessary to be there. Should I give some examples?
Sure, because I don't know what that question means.
Yeah, so like some activities I did were very, like there's not really much to it. For example, my school has a journal. Basically, they want it to be reviewed by 4 or 5 editors before it gets put in there. So all I did was I read the article. If I liked it, I told them I liked it. If I didn't like it, I told him I didn't like it. That was really the whole
thing. You were like Caesar in the Colosseum. No, yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just not as gruesome.
Should I think of including that?
So everything on your application should be a reflection of who you are and what you've done. If it's something that you feel is impactful, if it's something that you feel you're excited to talk about it during an interview, put it on the application. If you're just putting it on there to show just something else that you did and you're potentially leaving out a hobby or something else that you would rather have on the application, at the end of the day, it's your story to tell. It's your 15 spots and you can do what you want with it. But the best use of those 15 spots is to really just show who you are.
Right. Would you? Okay. That, I mean, I agree with that. That makes sense. What about like, I have a hobby of running and just going to the gym. Would you include that?
I think everyone should have a hobby on their application.
Yeah. I just don't, I guess like listening to your podcast, you always say, don't try to do something that you think is unique. Try to do something that's your story, what you do, and that will reflect.
Yep.
Okay. That's really it right now.
Just okay.
Studying for the MCAT, trying to carve away little by little at the activities and personal statement and move from there.
There you go. Good luck. Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yep. I am Dr. Cam. I'm a med student.
Your username is lying. You're not a doctor. Dr. Hi. Cam agrees. Hello. What's
How
up?
How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Good. So I have a question. So I'm an international student and I did 2 years of med school back in Europe. And you know, as you know, like in Europe, you go straight from high school to 6 years of school.
Yep.
And where I grew up in a village in a Soviet country time, science education was literally zero. So I got like zero education in science. So when I went to med school, even though I was trying really hard and I had good grades somewhat, I found it really hard and I didn't want to just get the white coat and move on without like deep understanding. So I decided to come in States and I did, and I'm doing a bachelor's degree in chemistry and I'm junior. And I was just wondering, like, I do have some shadowing hours, research for now. I do have a lot of activities that I just, like, extracurriculars that I just enjoy doing. I'm interested in, like, in which part can I address that I did 2 years of med school, because I think that was a big experience for me to be around of patients in clinic and also, like, to see, like, because that's where I understood that I really wanted to be a doctor. Like with knowledge and not just the white coat. That's when I realized, yes, this is what I really want to do.
Yeah. So on the application, you'll mark yes, that you've matriculated to medical school before.
Oh.
So it'll go there. And so it'll be obvious that you started medical school in another country. And then you can potentially just put that clinical experience that you got while you were in medical school on your application as clinical experience.
And So I have not like done the application parts, where obviously I'm not planning to do that yet. But like, so I'm saying, like, I'm not really looking to include those clinker. I'm not sure. Like, do I have to include the hours as shadowing? Because I don't want to include those hours of like whatever I did there. I just want to like.
You don't have to do anything.
Okay.
Yeah. There's no rules there.
Okay, that was my question. Like, okay. Yeah, but I was kind of like thinking maybe if I should just include that in my personal essay, but I want to talk about some other things.
Yeah, it may go in your personal statement, but there, without a doubt, specifically, you have to answer yes, you matriculated to medical school previously, mm-hmm. and then you'll talk a little bit about it there.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yeah, you're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Do, do, do. Let's bring on some more people. Hello there. What's going
Sorry,
on?
Sorry, based on the weather, I got a stuffy nose. But.
Yeah, you and me both. I'm sitting here like half asleep going, man, I'm just like, I'm done. Yeah. I'm done.
So I'm wondering, I think I listened to a podcast that talked about building a school list or looking for a school that fits. I'm just wondering, when I go into the application cycle, I guess I'm in the same boat as a lot of people. I just want to apply to as many schools as possible. but what is there a different approach to just applying to everywhere or as much as possible? Or how can I really just think about things in a way where I'm really looking for a fit? Instead of just applying mindlessly to everything as much as possible.
So why do you think you're going to get a different answer from me now versus what I talked about in the podcast about finding a school that fits?
Well, yeah, but I guess this cycle, I really am just going to be applying as much as possible to as many schools that I can afford to apply to. But maybe I'll look for the fit when it comes down to what interviews I receive and who's willing to put me on the acceptance list or wait list.
Okay. I think that's a terrible idea, but it's your money. I think it's a waste of money, a waste of time if you're going to do that, but you can do it. Unfortunately, that's the mentality that's happening now, kind of because it has to, with residency applications. Mm-hmm. And medical students, what's happening is medical students are just so afraid of not matching that they're basically just applying to every single residency program. Every single one for their specialty. right? Instead of looking at different programs and locations and other things and picking wisely. They're just shotgun every single school. And it's a lot of money. They do the same stupid thing that AMCAS does, where they kind of charge you per program to add. And ARIS, the residency application service, is run by the AAMC, just like AMCAS is. So they love students like you who are like, I'm just going to apply to as many schools as possible because that's just more money for them.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, medical schools are not just looking for, okay, your stats work, great. They're truly looking at who you are and how you're going to be a fit for their class in addition to their community. And so if you're not willing to put in the work to figure that out, why should they bother looking at you?
Sure. That's a good point. Okay. I'm going to rethink this then.
Good. Don't waste your money. Don't waste your time.
Try not to.
All right. All right, so let's keep rocking and rolling. Do you recommend visiting the schools before applying? Now, the whole school visit thing is not really a med school thing. That's an undergraduate thing. Hello there.
Hi.
What's your name?
My name is Isaac.
Hi, Isaac.
I just kind of had like a few questions.
All right.
So like I had to take an extra semester to finish grad. Undergrad because I was double majoring.
Okay.
And so I started studying for the MCAT like 2 days after Christmas.
Okay.
And so I've been doing it ever since. And I was planning on taking the MCAT in June, but it seems like that's kind of late for this application cycle.
Okay.
So I was wondering if I should like postpone it to next year.
Postpone the application?
Yeah.
You don't have to. A June MCAT doesn't really hurt you in terms of application timing if you can work on your personal statement, your extracurriculars, letters of rec, all that stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was like thinking of doing too. Like if I did apply the cycle, like as soon as the application opened, I was going to start like going through everything.
Well, don't wait for the application to open. You should be working on that now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I started some of the secondary stuff.
Why are you starting with secondaries? You got to start with the primary.
Oh, because you posted the thing about secondary, so I was doing that.
No, secondaries are after primary. Personal statement, extracurricular descriptions, disadvantaged essay if you're going to do that. If you're applying to Texas schools, the required and optional essays, the extra essays. If you're applying MD-PhD, the MD-PhD essays and research essays, all that stuff. That's primary application is primary. That's the first thing you should be working on.
Okay.
And then you can play. Someone was asking earlier about the way that she worded it was, should I apply to like just a safety school, right? Which again, I don't use that language, but you could play that apply to one school game where you get in your application, apply to one school, get your MCAT score back, and then go, okay, I'm comfortable spending more money and putting in the other schools. The trick with that is that you should assume you're going to get a good score so that you can work on your secondaries after your primary. And when you get your score back, you're like, okay, like I did well. I'm going to put in these 10 other schools and I've already actually worked on those 10 secondaries. So, because once you add those extra schools, it's very likely that you'll get those secondaries back within a couple of days.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm applying to quite a lot of schools, actually.
How many?
I think it's more than 10.
Oh, that's not a lot. The average now, unfortunately, is 18.
Oh, wow. Okay, I was only applying to 12, 13.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Okay. I felt like that was a lot. Because I was looking at the list and I was doing like all the UC med schools and then a few out of state. And I was like, this feels like a lot, but
yeah,
I'm glad it's not a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think my biggest concern is just my GPA because I was I was double majoring, so it was a lot of like course load.
Yeah.
And then I also had like my dad's disabled, so I also have to take care of him at home. And then I also had to work to bring money into the apartment. So
yeah. Yeah. So in your situation, the question is, did you ever recover and get a good upward trend to show academic ability?
Yeah, I never did bad. I never did bad in any semester.
Okay. What's your GPA?
I think it was like a 3.3.
Okay. That's not good.
Yeah.
For med school, unfortunately. But a 3.3, if your third and fourth years are like 3.8, 3.9, that's not bad. But if it's a 3.3 and every year is basically a 3.3, then you probably have some work to do for your GPA.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Would you recommend the post-bac?
Yeah. Assuming what your grade trend looks like. If you want to DM me, you don't even... Yeah, if you want to DM me, I'll get you a year's access to MAPPED. With chat advising through MAP, so you can talk to one of our MAP advisors, and then go create the account, put in all of your grades, put in your activities and stuff, and then reach out to the advisor through MAP, through the MAP app, and we'll give you a little bit more nuanced guidance on potentially what you should be doing.
Okay, so would you recommend that first before applying?
Yeah, grade repair always comes first.
Okay.
Assuming you need it, but it sounds like maybe you do. So DM me, we'll get you into MAPPED for the year, and we'll help you a little bit more.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Have a good one.
You too. All righty. Thanks for answering all the MD-PhD questions, Adrian. If you want to follow an amazing MD-PhD student, go check her out. SSG to MD-PhD is who she is. Oh, Adrian wants to come on and say hello. What's Adrian doing? Adrian's slacking. She's probably got some gels running, just sitting around, doing research stuff where you just twiddle your thumbs all day, right? That's what research is.
You know what? I'm just the laziest person on the planet. You know me.
What's up?
I'm literally like loading my mics up. I just wanted to answer some MD-PhD questions. I saw that some students had questions about can you apply both, and would schools expect you to apply MD-PhD? No. No one expects you to do anything other than what you want to do.
Yep.
The only crazy people are applying MD-PhD, like this one. And yes, you can apply both MD only and MD PhD with the same application. It's just a little button.
Yep.
It's literally all it is.
Just a tiny little button. So the next question will come, if you apply to an MD PhD program and get an interview and they ask, well, did you apply MD only anywhere? Is that going to be a knock of like, well, are you really interested in MD PhD because you're applying just MD?
No, because those interviews are separate. So when you interview for MD PhD programs, there's the MD day and then there's the PhD. So the people that are interviewing you for the PhD program are concerned with your research and your PhD career goals, yep, not the MD side. Yep. And the MD side is just looking to get you into medical school. And you have to get accepted to both. You have to get accepted to the medical school and the MD-PhD program.
Yeah, it is a journey. It is a journey. So don't do it just because, oh, I heard you get paid to go to medical school. I'm gonna go that route.
Not just money. Money is not worth it. My med school classmates are second year residents right now. Like, and I'm still here playing with mice. So do not do it for the money. The money is not worth it. You do it because you love science.
Yeah.
And you want to be the bridge between patient care and biomedical research. That's why you get an MD-PhD.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, you can get rejected, say, from the PhD side, not get accepted into the MD-PhD program, and get accepted into medical school. That can very much happen.
Yep. Yeah. And the school will go, yeah, will the school then reach out and go, hey, like, we'd love to have you, but not as part of our MD PhD program?
Yeah, you'll get accepted into the MD side. You get the medical school acceptance first.
Yeah.
And then you find out you got accepted into the MD PhD program.
Yeah.
So it's just a timing thing, but you can definitely just get accepted to MD only. And then my cohort had 3 students apply internally. So they were already medical students, and then they joined my cohort. They applied and got interviewed and all that.
Yeah.
So and that- it's a whole journey. It's a whole process. Do not do it just because you get your tuition waived or whatever. Like, that's not the reason.
Yeah.
That ain't it.
Because sometimes labs lose funding and then you got to restart everything. And
listen here.
I don't know who that happened to, but hey, whatever.
It is not worth it. All the trouble is the actual work is work.
Like, yeah.
You earn your paycheck multiple times over, and I still got student loans. So it is not worth it to just do it for the stipend and the tuition remission. Don't do it.
You got it. So go follow this woman here. She's amazing. Super mom, super vet, super researcher, super med student. Go check her out.
All right. I'm going to get back to work.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, friend.
All right. We love Adrian. Can a humanities major get into PhD for biomedical science? Sure. Why not? All right, let's bring on some more friends. Hello there.
Hey, Dr. Gray. Well, this is so cool. I was kind of nervous to get on here.
What's your name?
Tanir.
Tanir, what's up? What can I help you with?
Yeah, so basically I was planning on applying this cycle until I watched a lot of your videos and I realized that I was not ready.
Yay, saving money. Woohoo!
And obviously I want to put my best foot forward when it comes to something like this. So yeah. And that really entails like getting more clinical hours, which I don't have, getting more shadowing hours, which I don't really have right now.
Okay.
But my stats are good. I've taken the MCAT. I graduate this spring and I will be, I guess now I'm not going to apply this June, but next June. And I was talking to my pre-health advisor and so my GPA and my MCAT are solid. They're good. And he told me that obviously I'm going to be looking for a clinical position and all that and volunteering hours and shadowing hours. And he mentioned that it would be good to take classes during that time before I apply. Do you think I should prioritize that if my GPA is already high or?
Prioritize what?
Taking like classes.
Why do you need to prioritize classes if your GPA is good?
He basically told me that.
Who is he again? Sorry, I was.
Oh, my pre-health advisor.
Your pre-health advisor. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I was busy typing in Adrian's handle in the comment. Oh, yeah. So your pre-health advisor is telling you to take classes
after I graduate. Yeah. So before I apply, not this June, but next June, because it would show that I'm still like academically ready or something like that.
What's your GPA?
So I have a 3.95 right now.
I don't know if this student, he hasn't taken classes in a year and he only had a 3.95. I don't know.
Yeah, that's why I wasn't sure, but I was like, I'll get a second opinion on it because I don't want to misguide my priorities or anything. So
yeah, I don't think you need to take classes. There's a general rule of thumb of like, oh, show that you're still interested in academics. Like, okay, it doesn't work for everyone. Like, why do I need to go take more classes? Like, I need other experiences.
Right.
And I have a 3.95, so go screw yourself.
Yeah. I guess that was the concern because I was not sure about what's prioritized, but obviously I know what's prioritized, but just him telling me that kind of mixed me up a little bit.
Yeah. I mean you could go take an online course for 3 credits over the course of a semester. Just do one. Like, I don't think it'll do anything for you. But if you're worried about it, if you like planted a little seed of doubt in your head of like, oh my gosh, like what happens if whatever, like it's not that big of a deal.
Okay, cool. I think that was my only question. Actually, no, I did have another question. So I took the MCAT July 2021 and I would be applying June 2023. So would that significantly affect, I haven't looked at all of the like the latest MCATs that you could take or the oldest MCAT dates that you could take, but would, do you think that would significantly affect my...
No, because it'll be 2 years, right? It'll be a 2 year gap between MCAT and application. And typically that's fine for most schools.
Okay.
So what you can do is just go into the MSAR now and just assume your MCAT is July 2020 and see what the medical schools say in terms of if you're applying this coming cycle, are they, would they accept it? And then you can obviously, the math just moves forward a year. So right. You could see if there would be any schools that you may be interested in that may cause an issue with.
Okay, great. Yeah. I think that was all the questions I had. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. I was literally talking about this yesterday with a student who, needs to, like wants to get in this cycle and is going to apply to a lot of schools because her MCAT is going to expire. And we're just talking like there's zero reason why an MCAT should expire. Zero. Other than the MCAT one, the WMC wants more money. Hello, friend.
Hello. How are you?
I am wonderful. What's going on with you? Application Hello. Academy grad.
Yes. Walking to class, but I had a quick question. So I've heard from a lot of schools, very successful cycle for me. I'm very grateful for that.
How many acceptances?
Two acceptances, but like 8 interview invites that I turned down.
Oh, wow.
I'm happy with the school I got into. So
amazing. Amazing.
But
and it was all Application Academy, right?
Everything.
Everything,
that's,
everything.
That's the one factor. I've heard from every school except for my top choice.
Interesting.
And I have family in the area, University of New England in Maine. And I don't know.
So UNE, a DO school, is your top choice and they're ghosting you?
Yep.
Okay. Interesting. So what do you want to do?
I have done some shadowing with an alumni.
Okay.
And he wrote a letter to his friend who's like the assistant dean endorsing me as a candidate.
Nice.
And then
when was that?
December.
Okay.
And then I decided to just reach out and email her and say, hey, I've received a couple acceptances, but like this is my top choice. I look forward to hearing from you like in the next couple months.
Okay.
But I think she retired in January.
Oh no. Okay.
So I'm like, should I send another email to someone else in the admissions office, or is that gonna come off as like desperate?
You're not desperate. You have 2 acceptances.
Yeah.
You're not desperate at all. What it shows is that you want to go there, right? I want you. Why don't you want me? Everyone else wants me. Do you think there's some yield protection going on where they assume that you're not going to go there because your stats are too good or anything else?
Maybe my GPA is a lot higher than their average.
Yeah.
And my MCAT is their average.
Okay.
So maybe, but
yeah, send another email. Just say like, okay. I want to give you one more chance. and just kind of rehash it and say, here's why I want to come here and, talk about the person you shadowed who you believe sent in, some sort of communication about me.
Okay.
That's true.
Cool. Yeah. Sounds good. I will get on that then.
All right. good luck. Keep me posted.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
So Taylor was a part of Application Academy last cycle, the first cycle I did it, and was very active and was awesome. And apparently it helped. Frank. Joshua says, on the fence of joining Application Academy, but I only intend to apply to my state school. It's probably still worth it. Hold on, Frank. Yeah, I mean, if you're putting everything on one school, then heck yeah. Frank looking dapper, my boy.
I looked great.
What's going on?
Yeah, I just came out from the U.S. citizenship interview, so.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, I actually just passed the exam, so I'm coming on Tuesday to swear in, so I'll be American.
Woohoo! Congrats! Welcome to our crazy country.
Well, I love this country. No matter how crazy it is, I still love the country.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the fun thing about the U.S. is we can complain and we can talk about how we hate the president. And it's all typically out of love for the country. Like, we want our country to be where it was and succeed and excel. And we are allowed to criticize it and not end up in jail. And that's good.
That's the beauty of the First Amendment, right?
It is. It is. Yes.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I mean, nothing much. I've been it's been a pretty successful application cycle so far, thanks to you. Honestly, I've never had the opportunity to talk to you in person, but I feel like if I got all of these acceptances, I owe it to you, because the way I've been watching a lot of Application Academy videos, before I applied, I was just like on YouTube every single time. And whenever, like, you know, commercials, you come up on my commercials, it helped me write a good story. Because that came up a lot on my interview. It's my story that matters, to be honest.
Yeah.
I had a good GPA.
Good.
Perfect GPA. Not a very good MCAT score.
Yeah.
But I think the story is actually what gave me so much opportunities. And interviewing at prestigious schools is really because of that story. So I wanted to say thank you. Thank you again. Thank you.
Thank you for allowing me to be part of that journey, even from afar.
Nah, no problem. But then, honestly, right now, I'm having this problem of, like, I'm still waiting to hear back from two Ivy League schools, but I've had 5 acceptances so far.
Woo-hoo. Nice.
And honestly, I'm having, like, I don't know whether I should really decide to go for the prestige of the school versus maybe another school that's lower, that's, like, ranked lower, even though I like the school. But then in my head, since step one is pass or fail now, I have a feeling that, you know, the reputation of the school might play a role of where.
Yeah. I there are a lot of early kind of, as soon as the MBME made the determination to make step one pass fail, basically everyone on Student Doctor Network was like, haha, school prestige is finally going to matter more, because that's all they talk about anyway. They love talking about U.S. News and World Report rank list, which is the worst rank list ever. It doesn't mean anything in terms of the quality of education and what you're going to do there. All that's really going to happen almost exclusively is that the weight of step one in residency applications is just going to move to step two. Because step two is still scored for some reason. So the prestige of the school maybe will matter a little bit more. But when you look at surveys of residency program directors, the school is not that high in terms of what they're looking for. You mentioned earlier, your story is what stood out for your medical school application. And it's going to be the same thing for your residency application. And I literally posted on Instagram the other day, I think it's Northwestern, I believe Northwestern Neurosurgery has a TikTok account. And there were two, I don't know if it was the program director and assistant program director or whoever it was for the residency, talked about, hey, like right now we're going through interviews and applications and all this stuff. And the thing that matters the most is the person's story. It's just important. And so I 1000% would recommend don't go to a prestigious school just because it's a prestigious school. My little phrase that I coined is don't go to a great school. Go to a school that will make you great.
That's true.
Go where you will be a good fit, where you feel like you will be supported the most. You'll get the education anywhere. Heck, most of the education you get in medical schools is through third-party companies now. You sit at home and watch Sketchy and Pathoma and all the other different company resources.
That's true. And then I had another question. So right now, as I mentioned, I have like two, I mean, don't get me wrong, the prestigious schools that I'm still waiting to hear back from are still schools that I want to attend.
Yep.
Right? But then I'm having this issue right now of like, I don't know, but I'm very pessimistic. Like, actually, I'm going to tell you because I actually interviewed at Harvard. And honestly, I was not expecting it. It's something that, you know, with a 507 MCAT, I was not expecting it. So, and then that's why I'm saying thanks to you, because again, I think story is what got me there, because even when I was talking to the admissions, to the interview at Brown, because I interviewed at Brown last week, and they were amazed by my writing, again, the story. And I'm like, I'm still pessimistic. I'm like, okay, I got an interview, but I don't know if that's going to translate into an acceptance. So, and then right now there's a major development of my application where my former mentor at the National Cancer Institute told me that they are going to submit a paper in a journal, either MBio or Journal of Virology, in March.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it is fair game for me to include that, maybe as an update later.
You can. I think research is overblown and publications are overblown. It's a great accomplishment, but I doubt it will be the difference between an acceptance and not an acceptance. It could be a way of just keeping that communication open with Harvard, with Brown, with whoever. If they accept update letters, first and foremost, if they accept them. But I don't know if it'll be the difference between an acceptance or not. So I think obviously they want you because they interviewed you. Now it's just a matter of how well did your interviews go and where you rank when they put everyone back together.
I see. Well, I just have to keep, you know, being miserable until March at least.
You have 5 acceptances so far.
But yeah.
My man.
The funny thing is, like, I didn't get an interview from the University of Maryland, and I'm sad. I'm like, okay, well, my alma mater doesn't.
Yeah, that's interesting. So Adrian just messaged. She said, I wouldn't share unless the paper's accepted, right? Which is a thing. Anyone could just scribble on a piece of paper and go, oh, I submitted to the journal, right? So it's the acceptance that is really the big factor there. And I definitely agree with that.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your advice. Thank you so much for everything you're doing, Dr. Gray. Hopefully I'll meet you in application renovation.
Not application renovation. Mission accepted. Well, we'll have you on the podcast. Just DM me. We'll get you on the podcast and we'll share your story and hopefully inspire some other people. So when's your swearing in ceremony?
Tuesday.
Good luck. Congratulations on becoming a U.S. citizen. God bless you. We need some more sane people in this country. So thank you for coming.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye. Awesome. All right. I think we're going to stop there. It's 10 o'clock. Everyone, that was a great one to end on. I appreciate you all showing up, hanging out. Application Academy closes today. We're going to go full steam ahead. We're in week four of 40 weeks, 6 hours a week, four with me, and then one with a TA and one with one of our MAPT advisors, Dr. Scott Wright, former director of admissions at UT Southwestern, retired executive director at TMDSAS, as well as Dean Granum, the assistant dean, former assistant dean of pre-health and STEM advising at Hofstra, the other Hofstra in New York. And Rachel Grubbs, my co-founder at MAPT and MCAT expert, pre-med expert for 20 years or so. Everyone have a wonderful day, a wonderful weekend. I'll see you next time. Bye. All right, so there you have it. Another pre-med years in the book, 477 episodes, closing in on 500 pre-med years episodes, 300 old pre-meds episodes, over 200 specialty stories, close to or over 250 MCAT podcast recordings. We've had a lot of podcasts, and we are closing in on the 10-year anniversary of when I first registered medicalschoolhq.net. So stay tuned for some interesting stuff happening around that day. Hope you have a great week. We'll see you next time here on the Pre-Med Years.
This is MedEd Media.